Welcome, Shir and Svarno, Parshas VaYikra. We'll start with the Svarno's Hakdama, his introduction to Sefer VaYikra. The Svarno, as we've seen, tries to put themes together. So here too, as well, he has an introduction, like many of the Rishonim do, to Sefer VaYikra as a whole, in which he tries to talk about the theme of the Sefer. So he writes, "V'siper b'sifro hashlishi." The third book of the Chamisha Chumashei Torah describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system of karbonos in order to maintain the Shechinah, God's presence, within the Jewish people. I think if you ask the average person, they'll tell you that Vayikra is about karbonos, which is certainly true. But that's actually a small fraction of the Sefer. Vayikra and Tzav primarily talk about Karbanos. But then you get into Shmini, you have other discussions, Kashrus, Tumah V'Tara, certainly Tazria Mitzara is all about issues of Tumah V'Tara. Talk about the Arayos, prohibited relations. We talk a little bit more about the laws of Kohanim. But then the laws of Shemitah. There's a whole series of different halachas in Vayikra. Again, the most significant place in Chumash where Karbanos are discussed is Sefer VaYikra, but it's certainly not the only topic by any stretch of the imagination that's there. So what's the common denominator to the various laws which are discussed in VaYikra? So the Svarno says the common denominator is that all of these laws are laws that in particular relate to keeping the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. The last part of Sefer Shmos was about creating a resting place for the Shechinah. And as we saw last week and in previous weeks, the Svarno says the original plan was that the Shechinah would be accessible in multiple places in Klal Yisrael. We saw last week in the Kavanas HaTorah, where he says this doesn't just mean anywhere, it means places of Kedusha, Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashos, okay, shuls, yeshivas, the like. But ultimately the Jewish people sinned with the Egel Azov, they sinned with the golden calf, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a centralized location for the Shechinah to dwell, the Mishkan, and then later, the two Batei Mikdash. Okay, so the Shechinah comes into Klal Yisrael, fine. How do we get the Shechinah to stay in Klal Yisrael? So that really is what Sefer VaYikra is all about, says the Svarno. The first stage in keeping the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael is the whole system of Karbanos. And again, we alluded to this last week when we saw the Kavanas HaTorah. In the Kavanas HaTorah, the Svarno writes that even prior to the Chet HaEgel, there were karbanos, but they were voluntary in nature. What changed after the Chet HaEgel is that a system of obligatory karbanos was put into place, and this was put into place together with the Mishkan, to be an avenue to keep the Shechinah present in the Mishkan. So what are these karbanos? Mehem chatos ve'osham. Right, these karbanos which keep the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael include the karbanos brought for various sins, chatos and asham, lahavir es roas chatos hatzibur v'ayochid. These karbanos dispel the evil which might have descended upon the community, or that it might have descended upon an individual. The chatos, the asham, they clean away the sins so that the Shechinah can continue to rest in Klal Yisrael. The hizir al mine tuma bezera uvedeos uvemacholos uvemago uvemaso uveoel. And then Sefer VaYikra talks about various different types of tuma v'tahara, and the implication is, according to the Svarno, that tuma, impurity, drives away the Shechinah. Tahara, ritual purity, is another avenue to keeping the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. So when we're careful, let's say, about the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, or we're careful, as he describes, with the laws of Ma'acholos Asuros, of kosher and non-kosher foods, those are laws which keep the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael, I guess, more so than other halachas. V'sider ha'moadim l'mikra kodesh. Furthermore, we find in Parshas Emor that the Torah speaks about the Yom Tovim. Right, we read this on each of Shor Chesav Oizki Yivaleit Eilam Oadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh. We read these parshios on the Yom Tovim. L'man Yikonu Yachtov B'Yomim Yuchadim L'Avodos HaKel Yisbarach. So so that Klal Yisrael are able to come together on certain days in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of Mikra Kodesh. It's a convocation. We come together to serve Hashem. And the Moadim are also another avenue that we have to keep the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. V'sider Shemitah v'Yovel. The laws of Shemitah and Yovel are laid out at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Behar. Asher bom yizku lirashis eres Hashem hamuchenes lavodaso. Shemitah and Yovel are avenues to inherit and to keep Eretz Yisrael in our possession. That's very clear in the Tochacha, in Parshas Bechukosai, where the Tochacha makes it clear that one of the reasons for being exiled from Eretz Yisrael is a failure to keep the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. So Shemitah and Yovel keeps us rooted in Eretz Yisrael, so that we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it's yet another way to keep that connection, to keep the Shechina present in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. Then he adds the following. Uva yi'ed yi'udim gashmiim hechrechim l'chaye sha'a. In Parshas Bechukosai, it talks about various this-worldly rewards which we will receive if we follow the Torah. But don't be deceived, says the Svarna. The rewards which are promised in Parshas Bechukosai, v'nosati kishmeichem be'itam, I'm going to cause it to rain, you'll have a wonderful crop, all the things that are described in Bechukosai, those are not the ultimate reward of the mitzvahs which we do. Those are simply promises of material benefit which we get in this world to give us the wherewithal to continue to serve Hashem. Yi'udim gashmiim, physical promises, hechrechim l'chaye shah, that are necessary for us to lead a comfortable life. L'maris parnasu shalom b'tzar, so that we should be supported without too much difficulty. V'yiya levavam panoi l'avodasa. And if we receive these rewards, we will be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So the Svarno, again, like the Rambam before him, and other Rishonim writes that the promises in Parshas Bechukosai, we shouldn't think for a minute that that's the be-all and end-all of the Torah. You know, in other words, you learn Torah, you keep mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it rain. It's a nice thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it rain. But, you know, the ultimate reward for mitzvahs is beyond our comprehension. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, you know, sends us some rewards in this world so that we can simply have the wherewithal to keep Torah u'mitzvos. And he quotes a pasuk to that effect, Tehillim Perakuf Hei, Psukim Mem Dalit and Mem Hei. Vayitein lohem arzos goyim, va'amal le'umim yirashu. Says the pasuk in Tehillim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the lands of nations and the wealth of nations over to Klal Yisrael. Why? Ba'avur yishmeru chukov, in order that we keep the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, whatever we're able to inherit in this world in a physical sense, whatever prosperity we have is granted to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a means to an end, that we should be able to keep the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'al kol eile hishbiyam b'shvuas ha'Allah. And at the end of Sefer Vayikra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes an oath upon Klal Yisrael that they'll keep the Torah. Why does he do that? Interesting. He adds, achar sheifer briso harishon b'chetom. Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't taking any chances. Klal Yisrael, the first time around at Har Sinai, had promised their allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and lo and behold, you know, they're dancing around the golden calf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to make you swear that you pledge allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that you're going to keep his Torah. Right? So it's an interesting idea. Much of Parshas Bechukosai, according to the Svarno, is also an outgrowth of the Cheto Ego. Also a very striking turn of phrase that the Svarno says. At the very end of Sefer Vayikra, it describes how Klal Yisrael are going to be saved after we've given up all hope of being saved. If you look at the end of the Psukim in Parshas Bechukosai, it really describes, you know, the terrible things which are going to befall Klal Yisrael and the Golos. So the Psukim end off on a high note. V'af kamzos, even this, v'yosom be'eretz oyveyam, even when Klal Yisrael are in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim, lo ga'altim l'chalosam, I haven't despised them to destroy them, lo hafir brisi itam, to violate my covenant with them, v'zacharti lahem bris rishonim, I will remember the covenant I made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I will have pity on the Jewish people as well. The way the Sfarno presents that is that when we've gotten to the lowest point, when we've gotten to the point of Yish, we've given up already. You know, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously has forgotten us, we think. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swoops in and says, no, at this point I'm going to save you. That's the thumbnail sketch. I guess you don't have to come to the Shiurim now from here till we get to Sefer Bamidbar. You know, we just gave the thumbnail sketch, the cliff notes, you know, for what Sefer Vayikra is all about. But I just want to reiterate that point, which the Sfarno seems to feel is the unifying theme of Sefer Vayikra. We got the Shechina in Sefer Shmos. Now let's keep the Shechina through the laws that are laid out in Sefer Vayikra. That's the backdrop for all of the halachas that we're going to see. The Sedra starts off, Vayikra el Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu called out to Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem Elov Me'ol Moed Leimor. Hashem spoke to him from the Ohel Moed. How often did this kriya, did this calling take place? So Rashi writes, L'chol dibros u'l'chol amiros, L'chol tzivuyim kodma kriya. Vayikra al Moshe was not, he called to Moshe Rabbeinu, was not a one-time thing. You know, most of the time when when you read Chumash describing how Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's describing a specific instance. Here, Vayikra el Moshe is describing, according to Rashi, a pattern. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was always a kriya, there was a calling that took place. For all of the dibros, amiros, and sivuyim, all of the utterances, all of the statements, all of the commandments, kadma kriya, there was always a calling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would call out to Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, the way we have to read the first three words of Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra el Moshe, is so to speak, to copy and paste those words. Every time it says in Chumash, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Lemor, really what it means is, Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Lemor, he called to him, and then he spoke to him. What's the idea of calling to him? So Rashi adds, Lashon Chiba, it was a way of showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't just, you know, start speaking to him. He called out Moshe, and then he would begin telling him the words of Torah that he wanted to share with him. The Sfarno, similarly to Rashi, writes that Vayikra is an ongoing description of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, and he relates it back to the Har Sinai experience in the following way. Vayikra el Moshe tamid mitoch ha'anon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would always call out to Moshe Rabbeinu from the midst of the anon, the cloud, that had settled on the Ohel Moed. In other words, the Sfarno links in a very, very clear fashion the beginning of Sefer Vayikra with the end of Sefer Shmos. The end of Sefer Shmos described how Vayichas ha'anon es Ohel Moed, the glory of God, which was in the cloud, came down and covered the Ohel Moed. V'lo yachol Moshe lavo el Ohel Moed, ki shachan alav ha'anon. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to enter into the Ohel Moed because the cloud with God's glory was upon it, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter. So since Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would call to him. The calling, according to the Sfarno, is not necessarily a Lashon Chiba. The calling was by necessity, because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come close to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu called from the cloud. Vayikra el Moshe. Ke'inyin b'Har Sinai. And the truth is, this is exactly the way it was at Har Sinai, says the Sfarno. We find in Shmos, Perek Chof Dalid, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha-shvi'i, b'toch ha'onon. At Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the very same language, Vayikra el Moshe. He called to Moshe Rabbeinu on the seventh day from the midst of the cloud that surrounded Har Sinai. Ki lo yikanes misham sham la'olam b'li rishus. If there's a cloud there, Moshe Rabbeinu would never go into the Olam HaRuach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to call out to him from within the cloud. And he continues. When God's glory was resting upon the Ohel Moed, so Moshe Rabbeinu would never go into the Ohel Moed. V'zeh hoya b'yom shekilo Moshe sakomas ha-mishkan. The fact that the cloud covered over the Mishkan in its entirety, that was today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Depending where you are, it's still Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that was today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day on which Moshe Rabbeinu completed the building of the Mishkan. She'oz yarad hakavod l'kadesh es ha'makom u'mishar sof. God's glory on that day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the second year when they left Mitzrayim, came down on top of the Mishkan. Why? Because the fact that the Mishkan was enveloped by the cloud was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of sanctifying the Mishkan and sanctifying all of those who were involved with the Mishkan, i.e. the Kohanim. V'chein asa b'mikdash Shlomo. Sanctification through the cloud, we find again in Sefer Melachim when it describes how Shlomo HaMelech builds his Beis HaMikdash. It says there in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, V'lo yachlu ha-kohanim lamod l'shareis mipnei ha-anan, ki molei chvod Hashem es Beis Hashem. The cloud with God's glory descended upon the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim were not able to enter. And that also, uvazek hideish es hamakom, ka'amro higdashi es habayis hazeh asher bonisa. That too, the presence of the cloud which enveloped the entire Beis HaMikdash, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of being Mekadesh, of sanctifying the Beis HaMikdash. But that was only on the first day, the day of sanctification. The Mishkan was not eternally covered over by a cloud. He adds, Avo min hayom harishon ve'elach. After that first day, when it was already Beis Nisan, right, tonight, Nichnas Moshe ba'olam michutz la'paroches. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter into the Ohel Moed as long as he didn't go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. V'hoyo elav hadibur me'al ha-kapores. Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him from on top of the Aron from the Kapores. Ka'amra uvavo Moshe lo'ol Moed l'daber ito. V'yishma sakom midaber elav me'al ha-kapores. So basically what the Svarno was describing is the following. On the day on which the Mishkan was sanctified, the cloud came down and enveloped the entire Mishkan. When the cloud is there, no one is able to go in. So initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to call to Moshe Rabbeinu, with Moshe Rabbeinu being outside the Mishkan in its entirety. That's why Yikra Moshe. But subsequently, the Anan, the cloud, retracted and covered the Kodesh HaKadoshim alone. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go into the Mishkan as long as he didn't go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. The cloud made an area off limits. The cloud indicated that God's Shechina in all of its intensity was there, and you couldn't go in. Now since the voice of Hashem emanated from the Aron, from the Kaparis in the Kodesh HaKodashim, so that meant that Moshe Rabbeinu was always being given instruction from the outside, Vayikra Moshe, every time that Moshe Rabbeinu was spoken to. He was called to. He didn't feel God's presence in quite an imminent sense because he couldn't go into that area where the cloud was. And in a sense, this is the simple pshat in the pasuk we know in the beginning of Acharemos, Al Yovo B'cholesa LaKodesh, that even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim at all times, Ki Be'onon Eroel HaKaporis, because through a cloud, I appear over the Kaporis, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know how Chazal interpret that pasuk. Chazal tell us that for the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur, he had to create a cloud of what? Of incense, of Ketores. The cloud which is being referred to in the pasuk, according to Chazal, is the Kohen Gadol creating a cloud of smoke, of incense, which he brings when he comes into the Kodesh HaKodashim. But the simple pshat is that the cloud which represented the glory of God, not the cloud of the incense, the cloud which represents the glory of God, which had descended upon the Mishkan to sanctify it, then retracted to just the Kodesh HaKodashim and stayed there. Ki be'anon e'ra'el ha'kaporas, the simple pshat is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I typically keep my cloud over the kapores, my presence is in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and therefore, al yavo b'chol eisal HaKodesh, even a Kohen Gadol, even Moshe Rabbeinu, is not allowed to go indiscriminately into the Kodesh HaKodashim, because where the cloud of God's glory is, that's the place which by definition is going to be off limits. Okay, so that's a little hakdama, a little bit of an introduction to Sefer Vayikra, the Vayikra El Moshe. Then, as we know, the psukim get involved in the issue of karbanos. We spoke about this a little bit last week, how the first karbanos which are described in Sefer Vayikra are the olas nedava, the burnt offering, which is a voluntary offering. And the Torah starts off by saying, Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon Hashem. The simple translation of that pasuk is as follows. When a man from amidst you brings a karbon, so then this is how he does it. But as Mefarshim already point out, the Hebrew syntax then should have been Adam mikem kiyakriv, a man from you when he brings a karbon. What's Adam kiyakriv mikem? The word mikem, you know, from you, is seemingly misplaced in the pasuk. So the Sfarno says as follows. Kiyakriv me'atzmechem bevidu dvarim vehachna'a. The meaning of the person Adam kiyakriv mikem, is not a man from you when he brings a karbon, but when a man brings a karbon from himself, from within, the essence of the karbon, says the Svarno, is the sense of contrition, of hachna'a, that the person bringing the karbon feels, and the vidui dvarim, the confessional, that the person confesses over the karbon. To stam shecht an animal isn't such a big trick. But to bring the animal in a state of the person bringing a state, you know, coming in a state of contrition and wanting to confess over the animal, so that's when the karbon is meaningful. So Adam kiyakriv mikem karbon Lashem, when the person brings from himself, he brings his broken spirit as a karbon Lashem, so then the karbon is meaningful. And he quotes psukim to that effect. Ulashauma parim svasenu. Right, so that's a pasuk we know, pasuk in Hosea. The way that pasuk is usually translated is that our lips should substitute for parim, for the bulls that we bring. Usually that pasuk is quoted as a source for the idea of tefillah taking the place of korbanos. Ulashauma parim svasenu. But the Svarno is pointing out the simple pshat in that pasuk in Hosea doesn't seem to be talking about tefillah as a substitute for korbanos. Hosea lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So it'd be a little bit odd for Hosea to be talking about a substitute for korbanos. What do you mean a substitute for korbanos? We have korbanos. What do you mean a substitute? Uneshalma doesn't mean substitute for pshat. Pshat uneshalma means that our lips will complete the act of bringing these animals. You can bring an animal, that's not a karbon sholem, that's not a complete karbon. Uneshalma parim, what makes the bringing of the par, of the bull, sholem, complete? Svasenu, our lips. Not the lips of tefillah, which substitute for karbonos. The lips of vidui, of confessional, that accompany the karbonos. That's the pshat in the pasuk, according to the Svarno. And that's also pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, which I think many of us are familiar with as well. Zivchei Elokim, Ruach Nishbara. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Again, it's written by David HaMelech. David HaMelech lives in a time when there are karbanos. So David HaMelech is not saying, you know, instead of bringing karbanos, you can have a Ruach Nishbara, you can have a broken spirit. He's saying that the essence of a karbon, even when you bring a karbon, is the broken spirit, the contrition, which accompanies the karbon. And he writes the following. Ki ein chefetz baksilim hamakrivin bilti hachna kodemes. God has no interest in fools who bring karbanos without first preparing themselves to have that contrite experience, that experience of achna, that experience of contrition. In other words, you know, the vidui, the achna, is not just like a nice add-on to the carbon. That's the essence of the carbon. Otherwise, you're just shechting an animal. Just shechting an animal, stam, says the svarno, that doesn't really cut it. You're not really doing anything at that point. And then, very beautifully, the svarno links the pshat in the pasuk, where we said mikem means that you bring from yourself, you know, you bring your contrition, you bring your broken spirit. He links that to the way Chazal darshan the pasuk. How did Chazal darshan the pasuk? Mikem. So the beginning, Masech Tuchulin, Chazal say, mikem velo kulchem. Some of you can bring a karbon, not all of you. If you're a mashumud, if you're someone who was born Jewish, but essentially has rejected Judaism fundamentally, you bring your karbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and they turn you back. We're not interested in your karbon. Interestingly, as we know, a non-Jew can bring a karbon to the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, it's not like it's not that only Jews are allowed to bring karbonos. But ironically, the non-Jew has more connection to the idea of karbonos than the Jew who has left the path of Judaism, the Jew who has rejected Judaism. Why is that? So beautifully, the Svarno essentially is saying the following. Again, he says it very tersely, but I believe this is what he's saying. The same way that we explain Mikem on the level of Pshat as saying that it's not just enough to shecht an animal. Shechting an animal, you know, it's not a slaughterhouse. It's the shechting of the animal with this feeling of hachna, with this feeling of contrition that the person experiences. But if you're a meshubud, if a person's a meshubud, a person who has veered away from Judaism, not just that you're an essentially good Jew, it's just that, you know, you messed up over here, you messed up over there, but fundamentally speaking, the person has rejected Yiddishkeit. So by definition, you can't have that sense of hachna'a, of contrition, which is necessary to make it into the karbon. That's why the Jew who has strayed from Judaism is less able to bring a karbon than a non-Jew. Nothing wrong with being a non-Jew, right? If a non-Jew wants to offer up karbonos to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's great. But if you're a Jew who's moved away from Judaism and you're thinking to bring a karbon, so you're fundamentally lacking that element of hachna'a, of contrition, because your whole life is a lie to that idea of contrition. So how could you possibly bring a karbon where the feeling of hachna is not incidental to the karbon, it's essential to the karbon. So in this case, the drash of Chazal and the pshat and the pasuk very beautifully work together according to the Svarno's interpretation. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha.